one of the most striking aspects of living in Manideg, certainly that I have found, is the sense of community that is here. As most people know, I didn't grow up in the countryside. I grew up in the town. I grew up in Antrim. More than that, the places I lived in Antrim were housing estates. Both of them actually were fairly newly built whenever I moved into them. Whenever I was very small, my mum and dad moved from Belfast to Rathenraw, a large 1970s sprawling housing estate on the outskirts of Antrim. And then whenever I was about 11, we moved to another housing development off the Greystone Road. And in many ways, this was great for a young kid growing up. There were plenty of children to play with. The house in Rathenraw was a terraced house, and there were four terraces that formed a square. And in the center then of that square, there was a play area, you know, big rocks and a tunnel and things like that. And we as children would have congregated there. Looking back, you can see what the planners were trying to do. They were trying to develop a sense of community by having that focal point. And at some level, that worked. But yet there was never that same sense of community that there is here. Because everybody was new. Ancalon was in full flow, and so people were moving into Antrim from all arts and parts. There was no history. We weren't part of one another's lives in the same way that people are in this area. Most people here grew up here. Your family have history going back generations. Like it or not, you are part of one another's lives. You're part of the story of this place. And in Antrim, we simply didn't have that. In both passages that were read for us tonight, Scripture is encouraging us to be part of a community. In Jeremiah, the prophet is telling the ex-Israelites who have been carried off into exile to Babylon not to see themselves as being separate or apart, but to be part of that community. They're to work for the good of their city or their community. They're to pray for their community. They're to build houses and to plant gardens. Now, to build a house was to put down roots. It's to stay and to be committed. To plant a garden was much more than just to have somewhere nice to sit in the summer. It was to grow food in order that you could eat, but also in order that you could sell it. And so you were part of the commerce, the economy of the community. I love watching the silage being gathered in around here, because at that time of year, what I see is a community working together. Not just for the benefit of the individual, but for the whole area. Groups of farmers, friends, neighbors, family, all pulling together to make sure nobody loses out. I see the church contributing to the local economy of this area, and that can only be a good thing. And Harvest is as much about giving thanks to God for the community that bring the crops in as it is for giving thanks for the crops themselves. But we need to ask the question, has God placed us in our different communities simply to ensure our economic survival? There's no doubt that God is interested in the whole person. He cares about about those, for instance, who have lost their jobs this week in Wrightbus. And undoubtedly, part of what it is to be a community is to offer help and support to those who have been affected. Diane, it's good to have you with us tonight. You are one of those people who have been affected, and so please be assured of our prayers, and don't be shy in asking or telling if there's anything that we can do for you. He also cares about the fact that there are people in our community who have to make use of the food bank. And so that's why churches, like we do, become centres where food is collected and then taken to food banks. It's also why churches open their doors to become distribution centres, where people can actually come and collect the food. God is delighted and pleased to see organisations such as Christians Against Poverty, because God cares about people who struggle with debt. And part of what it is to be a community is to work together in order to help one another out of those difficult circumstances. And without wanting to play down any of these aspects of community life, there is another reason why God has placed us in communities. In Matthew 10, Jesus sent his disciples out on their first solo mission trip. But I want us to notice the difference as to how Jesus did mission compared to how we tend to do it. We've become very centered around our church buildings. We are very focused on gathering people in to one place. And for us, that's what mission has become. It's become something that people are invited to, be it a church service or a special tent meeting. And I'm not criticizing these things. Jesus himself made use of the synagogue where people gathered. And we know that many, many people have been won for Christ and greatly affected through these meetings. But this wasn't the only way in which Jesus did mission. In fact, it wasn't even the primary way in which he worked. When Jesus sent out the 12, he told them to go and to become part of the community into which they were being sent. He said, "Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave," in Matthew 10, verse 11. Jesus sent the disciples out with a very clear message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The message of the gospel, which was to be proclaimed both in word and deed, but not as outsiders. They were to become members of the community into which they were sent, living among the people, living with the people. It was brilliant to hear how God has changed every aspect of Alan and Carol's life, and how they are part of several communities, their family, their church, their workplace, their friends and their neighbors. And in a very natural way, they're proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes this proclamation has been as simple as a change of priority or a new perspective on life that brings a new way of interacting with the people around them. Certainly, it has been a joy for me to watch how Jesus has changed their family life. But how do we make best use of the communities that we are part of? Do we withdraw and try to live life on our own with only passing contact? Do we contribute to the overall well-being of the area in which we live and worship? Is Moneydig a better place because this church is here? Do we have a better environment because we are members of our local churches? Is there less litter in our hedges because of our churches? What about mission? Is there more talk about the kingdom of God because we are part of this community? Do our neighbors hear about Jesus because they live next to us? Do the people we work with know that there is someone willing to pray with them and for them when things become hard? Maybe for some of us, we've watched from the outside and we have watched a church community. Maybe we work with somebody like Alan and Carol and we look at them in the way that they talked about Jackie tonight. And we can see the difference that Christ has made in their lives. And the truth is that we would like to be part of that type of community. Well, the good news tonight is that the kingdom of God is not a gated community. There are no barriers, because in Jesus Christ those barriers have been broken down. The Israelite exiles were to seek the welfare of their city. The fact that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near to us in the person of Jesus Christ means that our welfare is bound up in what he has done for us. His life, his death, his resurrection. And the opportunity is now to become part of that community. Because Jesus is the one who has opened the way. And the time is now, because he has lived, he has died, and he has already been raised from the dead, that we might be one with him. And so this evening, what community are we part of? If we are Christians, then Scripture is clear. Our role is to ensure that others know that they too can be part of the kingdom of heaven, that they can be part of the Christian community. We're to find ways of passing on the good news of Jesus Christ. And this isn't something that we're to leave for others to do. Christ in us ought to affect every aspect of life. But if we're not already part of that Christian community, maybe like Alan and Carol, we've been on the fringes, close enough to get a glimpse, close enough to hear all about Jesus. We know the stories, but in truth, we're still on the outside. Then tonight is the night to change that. Christ's life, death, and resurrection, they are for now, not later. And it doesn't matter what sort of life we have or haven't lived. The invitation is to join and to be part of this community. And the invitation is to each and every one of us. And acceptance is simple. An honest plea for Christ to make us holy and pleasing before God, because we can never be holy and pleasing before God in and of our own efforts. And it is this honest and sincere invitation to Christ that changes everything. Because quite simply, he promises to accept. And so we begin that same journey that Alan and Carol were talking about tonight. And I know that they would testify that Christ has been faithful in bringing real change into their lives and into their family. And so this evening, if you want to find out more about Christ and what he has done, then please chat with me afterwards. And we can talk and we can pray all of these things through. Harvest is about community. But the question tonight is, what community is it that we are part of?